This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Do you understand the Browns' plan?
I don't know. Right. I have a good guess at it. Okay. I'll give it the old college try if we can.
I think this might be confirmation bias for me, but I think I understand to some degree some of their point. Now I do think I'm probably siloing it in more than they are. Like, they're not selling this as like, hey guys, road to 3-14. All right, right here. They're not like Doc Rivers last night, who in overtime was like, guys, we in no way should we push this to a game six.
Yeah, we're up 7 with 40 seconds left. Let's make sure we get this done.
Like, I got a standing reservation in Cozumel that I cannot miss. All right? I cannot rebook this. I will have to pay double. Let's just wrap this up before the Haslams can fire me as quick as they hired me 2 years ago. That's kind of the, like, I don't even know where the hell I went with that.
All right, so let me lay out my plan, what I think is happening here. Because I thought the plan was extremely obvious, Nick, when they traded to number 5 and took Mason Graham.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, okay, great. We're playing for 2026. We're going to do what we just did in 2025 and the 4-month quarterback search. We're going to do it again in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that's the case.
Yes.
But I think all they've done now is give themselves a little bit of a window to the idea that if Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders are great or show them something in a rookie season, then they can pivot off of 2026 being a quarterback class and they can go do something else and just draft really good players.
So we both think we know about 65% of the plan. And I think we're probably more on top of the plan and have been since January. And I'm not trying to take credit at the station. I just mean, like, I saw what this season was. And I've been calling out for it, unpopularly so, for so long, that I do feel like I kind of understand where we're going.
Yeah, I mean, to the fact that after day one, I said you were so on the money and understood their plan so well, it'd have to scare you.
Yeah.
Because you're just thinking on the same wavelengths as somebody in Andrew Berry, who we both called for him to lose his job last year.
I also did submit a packet to Harvard trying to get into the school, because I was just like, I'm thinking so much like these Ivy Leaguers. But Brian Baldinger, not... of the men that understand the Browns' plan, at least at quarterback, he was on with the Morning Boys earlier today. Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, and expressed they just didn't get the plan.
I don't know what the plan is.
See?
And I don't know why you would draft a quarterback with the 94th pick and then draft another one with the last name Sanders 50 picks later. I don't know why anybody would do that. They've made it difficult on themselves, I think, drafting both guys, but for Shedeur, like, you got to maximize every single rep, and he should just immerse himself in the playbook, getting to know the teammates, talking to Bill Musgrave every day to give him the best opportunity to be as good as possible, as quickly as possible.
So there was that little bit in there about a guy with the last name Sanders with a second one. I've heard that so much.
It was a jab.
Well, it's just
that
wild.
That was not meant in a nice way.
Like, no one ever thought, like, I don't get the Washington plan, because they took RG3 at 2, and then they took some guy with the name Cousins in the fourth rounder. Like, I don't, once you took Dylan Gabriel, it didn't matter who the second quarterback was going to be. It was going to be perceived as a head-scratcher, whether it was Shador Sanders or Will Howard. And Shador sure seemed to have a lot more value on that board than Will Howard, Curtis Rourke, or any of the quarterbacks the Browns didn't take with that second, with that fifth-round pick.
Yeah, the most value. I mean, there was no other way to really look at it. And if you wanted to look at it a different way, you could say the Dylan Gabriel reach, that's the one that people should be focused on.
Yeah, no, that's still the most. That's still the thing that when we talk about Dylan Gabriel,
about
I get a little spicy.
What about not knowing the plan? It's Dylan Gabriel in the third round when then no other quarterback was taken until Shador in the fifth round. Like there was a wide range of people saying we're not in on the quarterback business, and they still took a quarterback in the third round.
I think the people like Baldy who do not get the plan, I think they're all focused on this year.
I just don't know that they've thought about it the way that we think about it. Because again, as you mentioned, this is our. You said we've done this for 4 months and. The longer version of that is it's not just doing it for 4 months, it's doing it for 5 hours every day for 4 months. So you have to think long, you have to think bigger picture. Now, I think people like Baldy don't think about it in the big picture because they think that Andrew Berry and company have some sense of urgency to go ahead and win this year or else they're going to be out of a job. But we've just heard it. We've heard Jimmy Haslam suggest otherwise. And they, listen, I wouldn't take Jimmy Haslam's word for it, but they seem like they're taking Jimmy Haslam's word for that.
I'm a little perplexed at the bashing of the Browns. For this, for what people say is a lack of plan, listen, maybe it's because I don't listen to enough Las Vegas sports talk radio.
You're the one keeping Las Vegas sports radio down.
If I just tuned in 15 minutes.
Listen longer, Nick.
5 hours an hour.
# listen longer. Could say it for you guys here, too. We'd appreciate it.
I could rocket them to number one.
That's right.
But, that wasn't a plan for 2024, Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. And I call that one out to say... The myth that every year, every team in the NFL goes all in or guns a-blazing or trying to win. You can't say the Colts are trying to win. If it happens with Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones, cool. But they understand that that is a dicey quarterback room. And I don't know why the Browns are taking heat over this more so than anyone else. The Steelers don't have a plan at quarterback. Their plan is maybe Aaron Rodgers will sign with us at some point. And even then... I might think Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, and Will Howard is a plan that they're going to win with next year because I think Aaron Rodgers at this point is underrated. They don't have a plan. Their plans are hopes, wishes, and dreams until that weird knob signs with them.
Right.
But for some reason, the Browns are taking more heat, and it's like the Browns' plan is not just about 2025. Sanders and Gabriel actually give you the thing you talked about yesterday, which was hope and excitement. For 2025, it might not work out. They're playing on a bigger time scale, and that actually is smarter than just trying to silo everything into one-year plans.
I think that's what's so confusing for people like Baldy, though, is that they're trying to look at the plan, and then if you take Mason Graham at five and you trade out, you don't take Travis Hunter, and then you go the route of defense for your first two draft picks, then you go two quarterbacks and two running backs, which we've never seen happen in a draft, Nick. It's like, well, wait, what? What are they trying to do? But I think you're right. I think way too many people are just focused on for this upcoming season and trying to figure it out for there. And in that regard, it is a little bit of a mystery.
So would the Browns be getting more credit right now if they just took Shador at 2?
I think the plan would have been clearer.
Or if they just took Shador at 33?
If they had just taken Shador at number 2 overall, okay, and just picked the quarterback and said, this is what we're doing, it would have signaled to everybody that they are as must-win right now this year as anything. But because they didn't, and because they were laissez-faire about the quarterback, and then in the third and the fifth round, a lot of people thought they went over-aggressive when it came to the quarterback, it feels like it's a little bit of missed signals for a lot of people.
Well, but I think here's the thing. If they had taken Shador at 2, do you know what everyone would have been saying the last 2 days?
A lot of people would have said it's a reach.
Yeah, no one had a second-round grade on him. And then there would conveniently be teams that didn't scout him.
I'm not saying it's what they should have done to go ahead and signal a plan because that's the right idea. But what I am saying and trying to get into Baldy's head here is that I think it was confusing for a lot of people. I think it's for a lot of people that haven't thought about the long-term picture of what the Browns are. What they did sent a lot of mixed messages.
I know that the NFL has insane parity, and that's something the league likes to put out there as much as you can. There are teams, though, that are much more realistic and have to be more realistic because of quarterback scarcity and where their team is. The Browns deserve to be applauded for this approach. I'm not saying we're all going to love the results. I'm not going to say it's going to lead where you want it to lead. But being realistic in the NFL instead of chasing wishes, hopes, and dreams, which is what they've done the 3 previous years, probably a conduit to more success in the long run than continuing to throw good money after bad like they did for 3 years with the Deshaun trade.
But what's nice about this, Nick, is that this gives them a chance this year to maybe get something out of nothing. When it was Kenny Pickett versus Joe Flacco, I had no hope in that idea. No hope at all. This year, at least you have a chance. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, it costs you a third-round pick. It costs you a fifth-round pick. Not the end of the world. And then 2026, let's get the draft guides ready. Let's call up Dane Brugger. Let's get these guys going.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. Al Pawlowski coming up at 3. We'll get his thoughts on Tanner Bibee's start last night. He was on a list that you don't want to be on from Jeff Passan that was released earlier today. We'll get Al Pal's thoughts on that. We got Daryl Ryder coming up at 4 today. And it is Mason Graham Day on the show. We'll be talking with the Browns defensive tackle coming up at 6 tonight. Excited to get to know him. We got the number. If you missed the breakdown, Baskin and Phelps in the 12 o'clock hour gave you the full skinny on how he didn't get 55 and why he went with number 94. Then we got an Abdul Carter number breakdown. Any number breakdown you wanted of rookies going to the NFL.
Did we get the Warren Moon, Cam Warden number breakdown as well?
I believe there was a reference to Warren Moon being an all-time caller, Hall of Fame kind of situation there. So, again, that's some point if you want to listen back on the free Odyssey app to our good friends. Combine their names. Andy and Jeff is their names. That's what I get for being a smartass. Do you understand the Browns' plan, and how much does it matter to you? If you don't, and if you want the Browns to prove it, this might not be the right time, guys. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We're just talking about the Browns' plan and whether you feel like you understand the Browns' plan. The part of it that I don't understand, quite frankly, is how seriously they're going to try and compete. I feel very similar to there's a team I was thinking about that now, of course, I can't think of off the top of my head, where they're like, they go in knowing that there's a very low floor for this team if things go sideways, but that ultimately, like, they're shooting for, like, as many wins as you can get, which this team feels like 7 wins for me.
The Browns in 2025 feel like 7 wins?
Yeah.
I think 7 is a high number compared to what we thought maybe 10 days ago.
Well, no, I mean, I probably thought 7 wins with Joe Flacco, just in terms of, like, the ceiling, like the absolute max you could win.
Oh, you think that's the ceiling? Okay,
yeah,
I thought you were going for the broad average.
I think this is a 2-7 win team.
We just never know. You never know who's going to win the job and what they could end up doing. Can he turn? If Kenny Pickett starts, and no one believes this is going to happen, but if he turns into Sam Darnold, maybe we have something different than we thought. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's the bet the Browns get to make, is that you're living in a world where if things go great, then you get to pivot off of it. But if not, the plan should be towards 2026.
And I will say, if you want the Browns to prove their plan worked this year, I don't know if this is the year that that's going to happen. Like, I think proving their plan this year involves a lot of really good young players taking the next step and positioning themselves to be breakout players going into their second year, third year. Like, and Isaiah McGuire solidifying himself as a starting edge rusher for this team opposite of Miles. Yeah, this is about the young running backs. This is about Mason Graham. Like, to me, that's part of them proving their plan. One of the quarterbacks absolutely could, but, like, if the only way the Browns can prove their plan worked is by winning 8 or 9 games, it might not be it. Like, if that's how you're gauging success this year, you might not be gauging it in the right way, which kind of ties into what Chris Sims was saying, former NFL quarterback on Pro Football Talk, talking about the fact that, in this case, I'm talking about wins overshadowing what really, truly probably matters for their plan going into this year. And according to Chris Sims, something else is overshadowing the Browns draft.
I feel bad for Cleveland. I do. I feel bad for Stefanski and Andrew Berry, because here's the other aspect, too. They really had one of the better drafts in the whole league. I mean, they made a monster trade and got a bunch of really good players. Like, one of the teams I would look at and go, this is one of my favorite drafts there are. I mean, these first 5 picks, 6 picks, 7, I mean, it's great. But we're not talking about any of them again. We're talking about the 7th guy on that screen, Shedeur Sanders. And that stinks for Cleveland, too. And just it always kind of seems that way. When Cleveland gets it going good in one direction, they seem to find some way to kind of shoot themselves in the foot and make sure they slow that roll down a little bit.
I mean, I think drafting Shedeur slowed their roll. But in terms of the credit that is due for a good draft plan, yeah, that is absolutely fair. Shedeur has dominated the conversation around the Browns instead of, hey, it's a really aggressive decision with the Mason Graham thing, and look at the young players they got on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, think about how little we've broken down picks one, picks two. And listen, I mean, taking an interior defensive lineman and an offensive lineman and a linebacker is not the most sexiest thing in the world. But, like, it has been overshadowed. I thought it was a really good draft. And I feel like Andrew Berry and company, maybe just the Shador conversation has just overtaken it too much, like Chris mentions, but we have not talked nearly enough about how good of a draft this was, and it did get overshadowed.
I mean, it is a little wonky. I like what they did. I can't admit, on a team that's not expecting to compete next year's about developing. And the
question for our listeners, which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country. And the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Poison pill of the last
three years. That's where the two quarterbacks, two running backs thing comes in.
Yeah, like that is a little wonky if you just look big picture. But like specific to the players they took. Outside of Dylan Gabriel, like, listen, I didn't love taking a linebacker at 33. I think they felt they had to take him there because they thought Seattle was going to take him. They took the linebacker, then Seattle, the next pick back, actually trades back, which might have validated their point. But outside, like, I'm kind of, like, quibbling about where guys are taken. I think if you're nitpicking, like, I would have preferred you swap Judkins and the linebacker. All right, I'm probably nitpicking. Outside of the, I mean, I have no problem with Shador thing. Do I have great confidence it's going to work out? No, because it's on the kid. And I don't know the kid well enough. I don't have a frame of reference. I never had allegiance to the kid the way you maybe did or way others did to have some sort of, well, now that he's a fifth rounder, it's really going to work out. No, the stakes are just lower now that he's a fifth rounder, and I like that more. And, but, like, in a vacuum, I really thought Samson falling to the mid-fourth round was wild, and I like Samson and Judkins together. So, like,
yeah.
Like, positionally, I would have liked to see a couple more trench players gone, whether it's another edge rusher or multiple young developmental offensive line. But, like, again, I think these are small quibbling things that we're talking about that are absolutely being overshadowed by Shador.
I mean, yeah, the conversation, if they'd never taken Shador, we would have talked a lot about Dylan Gabriel, and then the conversation would have been Andrew Berry finally gets, like, a full stacked draft class that he's able to do, because for the previous 3 years, Deshaun Watson and the trades took him out of that. And he nailed it. He did a great job. And it's not the conversation. It hasn't been the conversation.
Yeah, and listen, we went in saying, you need some weapons on the offense. Well, guys, two quarterbacks are weapons. We'll see if they're deployable. They also drafted a tight end, who I think people, and maybe the thing that people are missing with Fannin, is he's actually pretty versatile as well. So you can line him up as wide out in certain situations.
Are you subtweeting Baldinger now?
Yeah. Yeah,
Baldy, there's two people that you've loved more than anything in this class. It's Mason Graham.
The Browns, yeah.
And they both did. Mason Graham and Harold Fannin. And then Baldy hates them both.
Although I'm going to tell you right now, a little flip-flop from Baldy. You know I love Baldy.
I don't know. That wasn't a flip-flop.
He had a light touch.
Listen,
in the morning show today when it came to Mason Graham.
He was
Graham.
On the show to do the flip-flop, but that doesn't mean he flip-flopped.
That was
him reading the room is what happened there. I'll give Baldy.
Okay,
I'm
going to
stick
flip-flop.
Up for Baldy there.
That's
no, he read the room. He read the room. He didn't want to come on Cleveland radio and bash the number 5 overall pick
and
in the first round selection. I just don't think – well, if he was on, he was already honest with us. He was honest with us 2 months ago about what he thought with Mason Graham. I don't think that changed at all.
Well, I think he Mason Graham could be a nice player. That's not what I believe the exact words that he said, was it 2 months ago with you and me, were, I don't see anything special in Mason Graham.
That's what he said, yeah, yeah.
So I did not hear that this morning.
No, I didn't hear that.
The Morning Boys did a hell of a job with him. I did not hear Baldy utter those words.
Well, he did it on the station previously. Maybe he felt it wasn't necessary for him to do it again,
or else he sounds like a
broken clock.
Led Zeppelin doesn't want to play Stairway
right.
to Heaven again.
That's
no,
right.
No, you're gonna get,
oh, you think that's Baldy's like greatest hit?
Yes.
You think the Mason Graham isn't special is his Stairway to Heaven?
Yes, because I heard it with our friend Jim Costa in Detroit. I heard it everywhere that I could hear Mason Graham talk. Brian Baldinger was haunting me As I was going all in and being like, Mason Graham is a special player. I think he's a great dude. I can't wait to see what he does in the NFL. I think his production in the NFL is going to be better than it was in college. And there was like an echo of Brian Baldinger being like, not special, 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 special.
As he was the only person that was like in the public talking about anything wrong with Mason Graham.
It was in my dome for 2 months from the moment he said it on our station, because that's the first time
I heard
him
say it. Should the morning show have pressed him further and not let him dodge out of that question?
No. No, because I don't think Baldy.
Or is that uncomfortable for Baldy then?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to do that to Baldy. He's an Odyssey NFL insider. If he wants to flip-flop on a prospect, he can flip-flop on a prospect. I took it to heart, though.
Well,
still going to call him Baldy when he's on with us. We're going to have fun.
It was the Harold Fannin line that I think you probably should have been more mad about.
Slow?
And undersized, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess there's...
And said, what was there multiple NFL teams that he talked to that just took him off his board completely?
I guess there's I guess there's football fast, and then I guess there's maybe you get a stopwatch out and you don't like players as much.
Or also
I
just look and see how he was the entire offense. But no. That's neither here nor there.
No, I'm not mad at all. I'm not upset at all. But no, I mean,
It makes more sense why Baldy can't see the Browns' plan if he hates two of the premier players in the Browns'
that's
took.
That's true.
Yeah, you can see why he's more confused as to what happened.
Gave a lot of credit to the selection of Quinshon Judkins over Travion Henderson. And we probably didn't even talk about that nearly enough, about how they went within five picks of each other.
We
which
haven't
tells
really
you,
talked about it at all. I mean, we're going to get into it a little bit today, I'm sure. But like this is how much Shador has taken over the draft, and how if Barry wanted his flowers, he's not getting it.
Well, and I think when you draft Shador, you know you're not going to get your flowers. You know, no matter whether
maybe
you took
that's
him
why
at
they
33.
Didn't have the massive cheer when they took him. They understood that this was going to be the big draft where people are like, "All right, we see the laser eyes, we see the vision," and then Shador just overtook all that.
So I look at this draft and I go, "This shouldn't be the draft that defines whether Andrew Berry has a job or not in a year from now." The
well,
second
it's
that they
too
traded,
early. A year from now is too early
well,
anyway.
Well, I mean, like at the end of the season. Like, unless Mason Graham is an absolute bub. Just nothing there, right?
And, which seems impossible.
And Schlesinger is just not good. Like, unless it's just definitive these guys stink, I just, like, guys, they traded down. Like, if there was going to be a player that could get Andrew Berry fired or not, it was Travis Hunter. Mason Graham with a fifth pick is as safe of a pick as you could get in this draft. He just has to not stink. And the same thing with Judkins, the same thing with Samson. Like,
so
none
part,
of these guys need to be world beaters this year.
Okay, but the hard part about that is that typically with those type of players, it's going to take 2 or 3 years to even figure out anyway. But with the quarterbacks, we have a better idea year one what they are and aren't.
But even that, are we going to fire Andrew Berry because a third-round pick or a fifth-round pick
no.
wasn't ready?
No, I
but
wouldn't.
But I think there are people who will.
I think there are too. And it'll be more noticeable based off the third and fifth pick as opposed to what Mason Graham is able to do year one.
Should Andrew Berry's job be on the line with this draft? I don't see it. And I like the draft. It's a little wonky at parts. I get it. I don't think it's going to lead to wins next year automatically, just the way they put this draft out there. But I don't know. I think this is a bridge draft. I don't know this is the one that you stake your claim on there. And we got quick hits coming up in 5 minutes, including some more reaction. We were told we overreacted to the Deontay Johnson signing. We'll see if you still believe with that after hearing this in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I mean, hell, I was going to do the Deontay Johnson thing. We have to put that off for me for one story here, because it was a 3-plus hour rain delay last night for the Gardos. They did get the 2-1 win. Kyle Manzardo the Gardo with a big home run. But this did not bother Stephen Vogt, Guardians manager, at all.
I laid down on the couch for a while. I talked to the family. I don't know. You just pass time. It's just part of it. And the beauty is you have nowhere else to be. There's nowhere else we need to be in. So we're going to play a game regardless, so there's time really doesn't matter for us.
So Nard from down the hall waited all 3 hours. Anthony Alant waited all 3 hours. I don't believe that 26 out of 26 guys in that locker room felt the same way as Voter did. I guarantee you there were at least 6 guys like, I could be home with my girlfriend right now, or I could be out of the club right now. But how long would you wait before you just give up and go home in a rain delay?
Now you have me thinking, though, what club are they hitting up on a Wednesday in Cleveland?
Whichever one they want.
Okay. I had a buddy of mine that he went to the game, and then he had to leave because you get like a babysitter and everything. He's got young kids, right? You know, and you gotta get out of there. And so I thought about that in a different light. I I used to stay the same way that Anthony and Nard would. I don't think I could anymore. I'd have a babysitter. I'd have someone watching Charlotte. Or maybe I'm with Charlotte, and so then I have to go home. So like an hour, maybe? Hour and a half?
I don't... Okay, so here's the thing. Like an actual rain delay, I can stick through.
Well, you don't know it's going to end. You have no idea when it's going to end.
But a dry rain delay? When did it actually... Was it 2 hours before it actually started raining last night? You could have gotten... Hypothetically, you could have gotten the game in the time of the rain delay. It wasn't until they started taking the tarp off the field where the rain actually started to come down in Cleveland. I think that's where I think the dry rain delay is worse than an actual rain delay.
Well, it just feels like a forever pregame.
And listen, Dick Goddard's not around anymore. All right? So we're trusting all these new age weather people in town, and they didn't know diddly squat last night.
Calling out the local weather people?
I'll say it right now.
You saying it with your chest?
Say it with your chest!
Say it with conviction!
Omaha! As opposed to everything else we say.
Steelers have a new report. Jerry Dulac is suggesting that not only were the Steelers never going to take Shedeur Sanders at pick number 21, Dulac explains that they were never going to take any quarterback, and that includes Jackson Dart as well, who they did have a first-round grade on. But the report there is it was not just Shedeur. Shedeur, Dart, Chuck, any of these guys, they wanted no part of taking a quarterback in the first round.
So they're just really content where they are. Is all I'm understanding.
I think this is about Aaron Rodgers.
So that's Aaron how I would continue be to read. Upset it. If they took
that's
why?
The read. What do you mean? Right. Well, first off, I can't explain why Aaron Rodgers would feel anything.
But or
I would
not
I,
feel
I,
something.
I would think Kirk Cousins taught us a lesson or two about that right there, where it's like if they're going to take a quarterback in the first round, you have a chance to lose your job. Ergo, you'd be mad about that.
I just think you got to take. I think taking Will Howard in the sixth round and having Mason Rudolph's dented forehead and Aaron, like, I tend to think Aaron Rodgers going there is going to be really good for them. I think they can win a playoff game with Aaron Rodgers. I think people are conflating their personal feelings with Aaron, with their football feelings about Aaron. He was really good late. And that was after his OC got fired. There was a lot of good there on tape from Aaron. I think he's getting back to who he was. That said, you're putting all your all your eggs into the Aaron Rodgers basket. If it spoils, it's gonna put the whole season in jeopardy, unnecessarily so.
And it might be the move that actually gets Tomlin fired.
No, I think he's Teflon.
It might be the one. It might be the one.
Our reaction to the Browns signing of Deontay Johnson was picked up by Awful Announcing. It went relatively viral, 150,000 hits in the video, no bigs. Ken Wyman of The Fan in Baltimore joined the Modern Boys on Around the North this morning and gave his commentary on Deontay Johnson.
Dude, he's fun. He's a guy that, and I saw it firsthand after games, they beat the Bengals in that comeback win where the defense stunk on a Thursday night, and he's apoplectic in the locker room after the game because he didn't get enough catches, and I'm watching Lamar Jackson try to calm him down. That guy, his priorities are all screwed up, and as you saw, that the Ravens got rid of him, and then he went to Houston, and they got rid of him, and I think the Ravens picked him back up at the end of the year just so a playoff team couldn't and kind of stick to Deontay Johnson so that he wouldn't have an opportunity to play in the playoffs. I do not think he'll be on your roster.
Inspiring stuff from Ken Wyman.
Yeah.
Have you cooled down on your dislike of the Johnson signing?
No, it's only actually been amped up. And then they had Donnie Football on in that segment in Pittsburgh, and he was talking about how Deontay Johnson fought at one point Mitch Trubisky in the locker room. And just like, okay.
But he's not stepping to Joe Flacco. We know that. Well, Joe Flacco is a statue. Who's he going to fight? It's Dylan Gabriel, isn't he?
The man's unhinged.
Target the weak one, the shortest one.
The man's unhinged. Well, you get the more headlines if you target Shedeur.
Okay, so like the Steelers, that's fair. The Steelers signed Robert Woods to a one-year $2 million deal. Now, I don't know if Robert has anything left. I'm much more willing to be like, okay, veteran in a young room, maybe you can eke out a little bit more production. Deontay Johnson is, I don't even want him in camp. I think that's where people, yeah. He just won't be on the roster. Yeah, I don't want him around young players. I don't want
and it's like, of course, the training camp. Of course, the training camp invite looked good. It's not the training camp. The workout that they did looked good because he still can play some football.
The problem is not the football. The problem is very much seems to be the person. And here's the thing. When Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Houston, when D'Amico Ryans, we're talking about three really great head coaches, say, No for me. Why aren't you listening?
Now, you talked about relatively viral and the 150,000 views. And if, honestly, when you look back at it, we were both impassioned by it. And it was really good in the moment to be like, no. Because sometimes people take a little second or two to come to those conclusions. I think we would have a million 500,000 views, though. I think we would have been 10x if we had been like, Deontay Johnson, fantastic. Come on down.
This is
a great move by the Browns.
I actually think if we...
Because it would have been so Looney Tunes.
Yeah, I think if one of us had done it. If it was like a Deontay Donnybrook, I think we could have done some numbers.
No, because then they would have just thought one of us was Looney Tunes. If both people in the room are just full, unabashed crazy, that's the way you get people.
Mm. We'll never know.
Omaha! Missed opportunity, some would say.
Mm.
But we can't do it. We have
Not
to say it with
so
our chest.
Announcing,
we have
I guess.
To say it with our chest when it comes to Deontay Johnson. We wouldn't do it any other way. Okay. Zach Lowe. He's on the Ringer now. And he talked about Luka.
So men talk. Say what you talk. I'm a real man. I go to 7th grade football.
Are you a dog all of a sudden?
I've said before, I wouldn't have done the trade. Almost no one in the NBA would have done this specific trade. You can find corners of smart NBA people, team people, who would tell you the idea of getting out ahead of this and trading Luka is not a crazy idea. The idea of doing it without shopping him to get 9 first-round draft picks and swaps and doing this specific trade is where the logic falls apart. I still think it's a crazy trade, but I'm just tired of, like, I'm going to be embarrassed until our backs are against the wall, and then I'm going to show you that, yeah, I can put up a little bit of a fight. How about you put up a f***ing fight in, like, game one of the second round, and now you're down 3-1, and you're probably going home.
Tough talking Zach Lowe there. He cursed, so you know he means it. I do think there's an interesting argument to be had when it
Set
comes
him with his chest.
Yeah, when it relates to Luka, I do think there's an interesting argument to be had there. He has 2 dunks in the previous couple years. Like he's losing his vertical in many ways. He is not playing any defense at all. I like Luka. I think a lot of people like Luka. But you watch in this postseason with the Lakers, he's playing 0 defense, has 0 guess. LeBron at the end of that game the other night was running circles around Luka. LeBron's 40 years old.
I think Luka's going to be just fine. I think the Mavs are going to be absolute a toilet for the next 3 years. I still think it was the dumbest thing ever. And listen, Zach is right. It was maybe it wasn't the dumbest thing to think about trading him, because you always have to think about, all right, where are we going? What are we doing? How close are we to winning a championship? All that. But to conveniently, a year after being in the NBA Finals, whether you think that was a fluke or not, to then just give up on this thing, and it is exponentially dumber in a degree that is impossible to say, to just single-handedly deliver him to L.A. Because you could have gotten...
Well, you should have opened up to guys, everyone else is what should have
35-year-old Kevin Durant got like 5 first-round picks, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson a couple years ago.
That's the part I'll never be able to explain from that trade.
It's just the whole thing. I hope Luka comes back svelte next year and just wrecks the league. Because this narrative about, guys, it's not a well-built team. They built the team for LeBron and AD and then traded the guy to build the team around.
Conditioning was part of the reason why Nico Harrison had claimed that he wanted to get rid of him. And remember the Windhorst viral Game 3 moment in the NBA Finals after last year, where he was talking about how Luka just flat out didn't play defense. And then you watch this season. And listen, I think some of the blame goes to J.J. Redick. You didn't rest a single player for the final half of that game. That never happens. What'd you think was going to happen?
J.J.'s just smarter than us.
But Luka doesn't have the conditioning. They're not wrong.
Shiloh Sanders was on a live Twitch stream after the draft talking about Travis Hunter's draft desires, and let this one slip.
I'm not even going to lie. When he said Travis Hunter, I was so happy for Travis, because secretly he really wanted to go there. So I was just glad to see him actually, you know, get what he wanted and go to the team and in the place he wanted to go. So that was really cool to see that.
One, it's wild that anybody in the NFL actually wants to go to Jacksonville. Two, did this factor into the Browns trade down decision?
I don't think so. Not in the slightest bit. Browns, I don't get the feeling they've ever catered to anyone's demands that way and would be like, oh, yeah, sure. You don't want us. We're not going to do that then. I just don't get that vibe. Haven't for years with them.
I definitely don't think that Travis went to them and said, please, I'd like to be, can you trade this pick to Jacksonville at 5? I don't think they'd do that. But do I think if they were really, really into the whole Ohtani of it all, and they were it, Do I think it could have played some factor in the conversation? Yeah, I do. Now, I don't think it's a reason to trade.
Isn't it just a simple, I don't even think it's like a Trevor Lawrence thing. I think the kid's born in Florida. He wanted to play for one of the Florida teams. Isn't that, like, isn't it as simple as that?
Yeah, but there's two other much better, more interesting
Florida
teams. He's
born in West Palm Beach. Like, I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't turn around and look at it.
A kid from West Palm is never going to want to go to Jacksonville. I mean, no disrespect to Jacksonville. I don't think it's like that deep. Jacksonville, guys.
I just don't think it's that deep of a look, right? Like, it's like, oh, local kid wants to go to the local sports team. It's not that much of a.
4 hours up the road. I wouldn't call that local.
It's the state. I mean, you're in the state.
I think Tampa and Orlando are about as local as Jacksonville is to Miami. I like to say Miami like that because I'm very hip, and I say it with my chest.
Well, and you do apparently know very well Florida navigational skills. So.
I've driven from base to tip many a times there. Al Pawlowski.
Easy now.
The man, the myth, the legend, he's going to join us next. We'll get into Tanner Bibee being on a list we don't want him to be on, and the rain delay from heck in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.